another Tuesday. Welcome to Beers with Bob. I'm Bob Cooney here with, oh wait, Andrew Salchunas is not here tonight. Andrew's taking the night off to be with his lovely bride as it is Christy's birthday. So I'm here with Tyler Zuli behind the glass. Tyler, how things with you?
Bob, I can't complain, man. It's nice to get a chance to talk to you tonight.
Absolutely, yeah. Usually you're hunkered down there. Andrew talks too much, so you don't get a word in edgewise. But tonight we're going to have to rely on you on this show because, as you know, I just can't do it alone.
We'll see if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be a good thing. But we want to welcome everybody another Tuesday of Beers with Bob. It's me, Bob Cooney, Tyler Zuli. Every Tuesday, we're 6 to 7 on Tuesday. We think it's the toughest day of the week. It's just hard. Monday, you just plug through. What's Tuesday? Nothing. Wednesday, hump day. Then it's pretty much the downhill slide to the weekend. So we just want to listen, talk to you, have you listen to us talking about some sports here. We're presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll give you some lines on some fun games. But most importantly, we just want you to sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, whether it's a beer or another kind of cocktail. Put your feet up and enjoy the show. Get ready for Thanksgiving. And as my parents said to each other every night as they clink their martini glasses, Happy Tuesday. And there it is. So, Tyler, you all pumped up and ready for Thanksgiving? You got any? It's hard this year. It's impossible this year to have any big special plans for anyone. You almost feel guilty asking people, hey, what are you doing? Because inevitably, you get the one or two people, nothing, sitting home alone. What do you got going on for Thanksgiving? Anything good?
So, probably spend the early part of the day with my mom and my brother. Just kind of hang out and enjoy the day. And then I'll actually be around here, so we got Villanova basketball coming up. So, I'll be doing that game later in the evening.
Okay, Villanova plays. Who do they have Thursday night? Tomorrow, I know they open up.
So, it's going to depend on what happens tomorrow. So, they open up with Boston College tomorrow.
Boston College
tomorrow.
Depends
on who they play. What happens if they win or lose. I'm assuming that it's probably going to be a win, and it's Rhode Island and, I believe, Arizona State.
Okay. All right. So a slew of college basketball games opening tomorrow. If I'm not mistaken, just quick glance. It kind of passed me by, but quick glance today when I was going over some things. LaSalle goes at 2. St. Joe's goes at, like, 4-ish, and then Villanova tomorrow night. So, and I think two of the games are on FS1. Villanova, I think, is on ESPN. So Wednesday, which a lot of people are upset about in the city, that bars are closing at 5 o'clock because of different reasons, as we obviously know. Maybe it's a day tomorrow where you just kind of honker in, where you just bring the beers or whatever cocktails you like to your abode, and that's how you enjoy the day, by sitting around, watching TV, maybe watching some college hoops. Hopefully you have some family members that are going to be safe with you, and you can enjoy the fun. I'm going to have a small gathering myself. Usually we have a pretty loaded house we host every year, but this year we're going to play by the rules. Just 10 of us. Everybody tested. Everybody okay. Ty, we got some bad news about one of my kids who's away at college down in South Carolina. Kyle, one of a kid that lives next door, a good friend of his, tested positive, I think, on Sunday. So he's not allowed to. He was supposed to fly home today. He's not allowed to. So he's going to be staying in South Carolina. So he was hitting us up for recipes about, you know, what side dishes to make. They already got a turkey. They already got a ham. I think there's going to be 4 of them. So they're honkering in South Carolina. I got to tell you, not sure that's a bad thing.
No, I mean, the weather's going to be a whole lot nicer.
Weather's nice down there. Listen, you got 4 friends. You're watching football. You're eating good food all day.
And Zoom's offering you guys,
oh, yeah,
unlimited access.
Absolutely.
I think throughout the weekend, actually.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to get on that Zoom call together and just at least socially distance, spend some time together, it'll feel like a little bit like Thanksgiving.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. It was funny because he found out about everything and was texting me the other night, and his mom also. And I could tell he kind of felt bad. And then once we got over the, all right, don't worry about it, we're going to miss you because we haven't seen you in a while. Once we got through that, then he was all right, so we're getting a turkey and a ham, and what else can we make? And we got football, and we got plenty of beer. And, oh, boy, I think he's probably going to have a pretty good time. Talking about pretty good times also, tonight, Tyler, 8 o'clock. Doop, doop. You pumped? We got the Philadelphia Union versus New England, first round of the playoffs in the MLS. MLS is just, it's funny how last week we got done the show, Ty, right? We get done Beers with Bob, and I get a tweet from a guy. I forget his name. I tweeted him back. I get a tweet from a guy. Your show's a joke, Beers with Bob. I sat on hold for an hour wanting to talk to you about Jim Curtin, who's a good friend of mine, the coach of the Union, and you didn't even pick up the phone. So I tweeted and I said, well, look, it's a sports betting show. Sorry we couldn't get to you. We don't usually do calls during the show, but, you know, big fan of Jim Curtin's, and he's been on the morning show with us an awful lot. And I was telling you, Ty, I sent, before we came on air, I sent Jim a text and just said, hey, good luck tonight. You know, hope it goes well. Within 30 seconds, respond, hey, thanks, Bob. Good, you know, hope everything's going well. We'll talk later on in the week. So good luck to the Union tonight. You're getting, were you always into soccer? You just starting to get into it a little
bit
more?
So I would say that I was always a fan of the game, but unlike football and baseball and basketball and hockey to a little bit of a lesser extent, I didn't know the intricacies of the game like I do some of the other sports, because when I was growing up, we used soccer as, like, for personally, I use soccer as like my in-betweener. So I played baseball spring and summer and basketball in the winter. So soccer was kind of my have fun, stay in shape sport, because I wasn't all that good at it.
Right.
But it was fun enough. So I always liked the game. But now I'm starting to get into it a little bit in further detail.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much that league has grown over the last couple of years and is going to continue to grow in the next three or four years. I think they got four or five teams coming in the next three or four years.
Yeah, and what the pandemic did is as horrible as it's been. But if you go back into remembering, one of the first sports to start during the pandemic was the MLS, getting down in the bubble, playing in that tournament down there. And from the Philadelphia perspective, the Union did really, really well down there. And it just grew interest. And I know, you know, we would be on the morning show and they would have a 9 o'clock game. We'd have it on and we'd watch it and be into it. And then, you know, as the success continued, we have a really good relationship with the Union. And Jim Curtin was nice enough to join us on the morning show an awful lot. He's become a friend of the show. And just watching, they have a local kid who played over in South Jersey. He was going to go play in Europe, and a kid Aronson, and you know, they get the goalkeeper of the year in Blake, coach of the year in Jim Curtin. And it's just, they're just fun to watch. And I guess my soccer, so I have four kids and all of them played soccer. And our daughter, the youngest, was in the championship high school soccer game on Sunday. It's the last time I'll see any of my kids play competitive sports. And for the last 8 years, I had a son that played 4 years of varsity at Camden Catholic High School, where I went. As soon as he graduated, his sister, my daughter, our daughter Jenna, played 4 years of varsity soccer. So for the past 8 years, I've been watching varsity soccer at the same school with my kids playing, and boom, now it's done. So Tyler,
you got some good athletes in the family.
If you're still playing any sports, I'm going to have to come and watch you play or something.
Well, so listen, you know, much like Andrew, we play those summer leagues.
You play Sunday baseballs, right? Doubleheaders?
No, so ours was through the week. So our first pitch would be at like 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening.
So, but Andrew also played in the Sunday league, maybe?
Yeah, different league.
Okay. All right. So you guys play during the week, 6 o'clock during the summer, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and you know what
games
it was
usually?
So we played out of Ben Salem.
Okay.
And then the rest of the league was like Bucks County located and a little bit of Northeast Philly. But you know, it was something to keep competitive, because right now all I'm doing is playing golf, and I'm not very good at it, so
that's all right.
I need something to be competitive.
As I always say, golf is one of the few things in life that you can be bad at and still enjoy. And you can put your imagination to what the other one might be. So, all right, well, let's get into some Thanksgiving.
It's eating pizza, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Let's get into some Thanksgiving football games here. Ty, I don't know what your tradition was growing up, but I'll tell you mine, and it lasted throughout my adult life, is football, high school football game in the morning. Like I said, I had kids that went to the same high school that my wife and I both went to. So it was high school, put the turkey in around 7 o'clock in the morning, go to a football game, come back, have the smell of that turkey, you know, just littering the house. And then an early dinner, my wife's family's Italian, a bunch of Italian food, a bunch of food, huge gathering. We always host. That's what it was. This year, a lot different. Not going to be as many people. No football game. So basically, you're just going to sit around, eat, and watch pro football all day long. Were you similar growing up?
Yeah, I mean,
you're still growing up.
I'm like 14 years old.
Yeah.
So. We have a very small family. So it was a small gathering to begin with.
Which is cool.
I mean, it's nice. It was, you know, nice and intimate and more food for everybody most of the time. So our plan, usually, my dad and I would watch the early game, you know, the 12 o'clock game or whatever it is now. Watch that, get on the road, head up to my aunt and uncle's, watch the second game. And then the advent of the third game came around. And it was kind of an in-betweener. So we'd maybe watch the first half there and hit the road and get home in time for the second half. And it's football 24 hours on Thanksgiving. It's food and football. And that's all. That's the best thing that you can ask for.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Yeah. So hopefully the third game gets pulled off this week. We'll see what happened, and we'll talk about that there. But what we want to do is sit the first three games, the Thanksgiving games of the NFL coming on Thursday. And the first game that you have is that 12:30 game that you talked about, Ty. Detroit always hosts, and this year they have the Houston Texans. Texans are 3-point favorite at Detroit. Detroit just looked horrible last week. Horrible. I was surprised. I'm watching the score throughout the game. I was going against Matthew Stafford in my fantasy football league. So I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, oh, Stafford had that thumb. Is he even playing? Because I'm seeing they're getting shut out. And I look, and sure enough, he played with a bad thumb, but they didn't score a point. They got shut out. Just a bad, bad outing by them, losing 20-0 at Carolina. Carolina had lost five in a row going into that game. And Detroit, you know, gets blank there. So anything jump out at before we really dig in? Houston -3 at Detroit. Houston's 3-7. Detroit 4-6. Houston had a big win last week, beat New England 27-20. Their stars showed up to play in that New England game. Just early thoughts on this. Anything from you, Ty?
I have struggled to try to pinpoint this Detroit team all year. Every time I bet for Detroit, they get blanked like they did this past weekend to a backup quarterback and a backup running back.
Yeah.
And it seemed like you said that have lost five in a row. And every time I bet against them, they seem to find a way to win, you know, like they did against Washington 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to stay away from that line. I can't touch it because whatever I tell you, Bob, the opposite's going to happen. So maybe off the air, I'll give you my pick and you can bet the opposite. But I will tell you this. The one thing that I watched over the last couple of weeks is despite the fact that their record is not very strong, and that being the Houston Texans, I mean, it is not indicative of Deshaun Watson's play. And if you're going to take a player prop, Deshaun Watson at +175 to score a rushing touchdown, I think is one that I would look for.
Yeah, he was real active last week in their win, threw for 344 yards, rushed for a touchdown. And his touchdown that he rushed for, I don't know if you saw it, he literally carried in a linebacker and a defensive back as he went in for the four-yard run. He just seems like he's finding his groove a little bit. They're disappointing, no question, at 3-7 so far this year. But J.J. Watt also had a really good game defensively. So you talk about Deshaun Watson, you talk about J.J. Watt. Obviously, those are your stars. If those guys are showing up, you always give yourself a chance. They're getting good wide receiver play from Brandon Cooks. Will Fuller, Notre Dame kid who came here when Notre Dame played Temple and had I was at the game. I'm pretty sure he had the game-winning touchdown.
He's a Roman product,
game.
Too, isn't he?
A Roman, that's right, absolutely. He's having a good year. I think he's got like six or eight touchdowns. The thing that's intriguing to me in this game, and you said it about Detroit, they're such a weird team. They've been that way since Matthew Stafford's been there, in my opinion. You just can't figure them out. The over-under is 51.5. That seems high to me.
Way high.
So, Vegas isn't stupid. FanDuel Sportsbook isn't stupid. They put these lines out there for a reason. And 51.5 makes me think two teams coming in, seven wins combined. What are you playing for? It's going to be a Thanksgiving just free-for-all. And I don't know how much of a free-for-all Matthew Stafford has in that bad thumb, but it looks like FanDuel's thinking he's got a little something. That 51.5 is something that I would keep my eye on there. I'm tempted to go the over, Ty, because I think there's a reason that's that high to simply say what we do a lot. Well, that's way too high. I'm going with the under. Rarely works. Last week, Andrew and I loved an over I believe it was a Kansas City game, whatever it was. And sure enough, that came up small. Take a look at that line. Keep an eye on it throughout the week. If I were going to take anything, I think I like the Texans laying the 3. I just don't like where Detroit is right now. They have some injuries going on. As I said, Stafford last week, 178 yards through the air, but got sacked 5 times also. There's just not a lot there. The team rushed for 40 yards.
On a good number of carries, too. It wasn't like they ran the ball 8 times.
Yeah.
I think it was like 19 or 20 carries.
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson went for like 8 carries for 19 yards. And
not
just
good.
Think about that. That's your leading ball carrier is Adrian Peterson. Nothing against him, but at 48 years old, it might be a little bit of a struggle to rely on him. So I tease. So I like Houston, and I would keep an eye on that over-under. I'm kind of leaning towards the over. Of course, you can go on FanDuel Sportsbook. Check it out. If you've never been on it, you got to try it. Check out the propositions that they have going on with this game. There's so many different things you can do. As you get closer to the game, you'll get individual things. As Tyler said, you can get rushing touchdowns on Deshaun Watson. You can get over-under passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards. There's so many different fun bets you can have. So that's the first game that you're going to have. 12:30 on Thanksgiving Day, Houston Texans at Detroit. Your second game has local implications. Tyler, and I know you are pumped, psyched, and ready for this one. That's right. The winner, or if they both tie, will be in first place in the NFC East, and that is the 3-7 Washington football team at the 3-7 Dallas Cowboys. Dallas favored by 2.5 in this one, Tyler, the over-under 46.5. Any interest at all from you in this one?
Actually, I think that there is, because the 2.5 to me is a combination of them being home, it being Thanksgiving, and them having a little bit of recency bias after a really big win against the team that kind of has been surging lately in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I think that I would stay away from betting this game, the line itself. But if I were to throw a couple of dollars down, I think that I would go Washington outright.
Okay.
The 2.5, the plus 2.5, I think that it's a little bit of a favorable line because of all those things that I laid out right there. Washington, to me, is the best defensive team in this division, which is not saying a whole lot, but they're the best of the four.
They have a mean front, no question.
And to me, the Cowboys' pass protection has not been very good this year. And whether Dalton plays again or you get a combination of Garrett Gilbert and whoever else, Ben DiNucci, to me it screams that this line is weird and a little bit off, and I think that I would go with Washington plus 2.5 if I were to take it.
So this pits together aging quarterbacks Alex Smith for Washington and, as you said, Andy Dalton for the Cowboys. Now, Alex Smith threw like 55 times 2 weeks ago, some outrageous number for a guy who now has two starts under his belt after having to sit out 2 years with that gruesome leg injury. But maybe it's kind of the solidifying guy that they need, a quarterback. Washington, you know, I've seen them the last couple of weeks. They're not playing bad football. Like, they don't look like the bad team they were. Now, they beat a bad Cincy team, and Cincy got really, really devastated by the Joe Burrow injury in the middle of that game, and Washington comes out with a 20-9 win. But Antonio Gibson is running the ball well for them. He's got 8 touchdowns this year. That kind of snuck up on me. I was kind of going through some fantasy football stuff yesterday. I was surprised to see 8 touchdowns for him, and a lot of the stories that I read coming out of that Cincinnati-Washington game, pretty much all of them mentioned how good Chase Young is playing. And the rookie out of Ohio State is proving why he was such the high pick that he was, and just playing really good football and adding to an already good defensive front. Tyler, you like Washington to win this one outright. Over-under is 46.5. I'll tell you one thing I think we're going to see is a decent football game. I think these two teams are playing. They're not great teams, obviously, and they're in the NFC. But I think we're going to see a decent game. My feel on this is that I think Dallas is going to pull it out, because here's why. Zeke Elliott got his first 100-yard rushing game of the season last week. I think you find a little bit of a groove with him. I think they have good wide receivers. I think if Andy Dalton is clear, is healthy, is, you know, his mind is good to go, I think you're kind of okay there with a Dallas offense. I see Dallas winning a close one, but I think they'll cover the 2.5, and I think it's an over. I think it's an over, that 46.5. So we'll take a look at how that goes. The last game that we have real quick that we'll get into, and the reason we're going real quick on this, this is a shame. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore at 6-4. Pittsburgh, obviously the last undefeated team, or the only undefeated team in the NFL at 10-0. Pittsburgh's a 5-point favorite right now. But this one's in real jeopardy. Ty, right before we came on, I saw that at least 10 Ravens players, staffers, coaches, however you want to lump it, have tested positive for COVID, and we're only 2 days out. It might be real hard to get this one off. Baltimore, 2 key running backs, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, both tested positive. It looks like they're both going to be out. I don't know if this one goes off or not.
Well, and it's funny. Not funny. It's not a funny situation, but I will say this, that you talk about that. I texted my fantasy football group chat, and I said, who's going to be the guy that makes the mistake of picking up Gus Edwards this week because he's the only available starting running back guy that has actual touches for the Baltimore Ravens. And for me, this is a no-win situation for this Ravens team because I don't know if they were good enough to win this game with everybody healthy and active and available to play. But now you talk about the situation that's at hand with all of the personnel that have tested positive for COVID-19, and you're left with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, who was once a really good running back at Oklahoma State that really hasn't had any chance to thrive with that many running backs with the Ravens. This just spells disaster for Baltimore if this game gets played.
Yeah.
I don't like a whole lot about the Ravens in this game, and I think that whatever the line ends up being by the time that you get it, if this game does get played, I would take the Steelers pretty heavy.
Well, it's weird. I got here a couple hours ago, and when I was first looking at the line on FanDuel Sportsbook, Pittsburgh was -5. It's already up to -5.5.
I bet you that gets to probably 7 by game time.
Yeah, so if you get on FanDuel Sportsbook, you can lock in on a line right now. And if that game's played, you can get that favorable line if you would like it right now. Baltimore's lost 3 of 4. Tough losses. Steelers, Patriots, who are always tough no matter what their record, and the Titans in overtime last week. They gave up a lot of yardage to Derrick Henry last week, but that's expected, 133 to him. Pittsburgh's just been so solid offensively and defensively. Roethlisberger has to be in consideration for MVP. He's got 24 touchdowns, only 5 picks. He's only been sacked 10 times this year. I swear, it seems like every game Carson Wentz is teetering on being sacked 10 times. He's at least hit 10 times.
Well, that's what happens when you invest in your offensive line and make the right play.
Yeah, there's that. Don't they have an offensive lineman that the Eagles had here as a defensive lineman?
Yeah, you know what he was? He was a defensive tackle.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that funny how it works? But all right, so those are the Thanksgiving games. What we're going to do when we get back is we'll talk, obviously, about the Eagles game, Monday night game against Seattle. Some of the Seattle players had some things to say about the Eagles quarterback situation, which we'll hit on also. And we'll take a look. We got some college basketball games that involve the locals tomorrow. So we'll give you a little quick rundown on that. All right, Bob Cooney here. Beers with Bob with Tyler Zuli. And right now, I just have to tell you, I got to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook and that Thanksgiving, it is my favorite holiday. I've said it since I was a little kid. I can't wait to eat and watch football all day long, as Tyler and I just talked about. And thanks to FanDuel Sportsbook's partnership with Valley Forge Casino, it just makes the day even better because I can bet all the action. If you never bet on FanDuel Sportsbook before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot because they're giving new users a 25-1 odds boost on any football game on Thanksgiving Day. That means you can bet $5 and win $125. I just told you, looking down the line, I like all the favorites on all three games Thanksgiving Day. Offers like these just are one of the reasons FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. I also love the exclusive promos that they give, and they give me my winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Bob so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. 21 or older and present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Maximum bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Beers with Bob. Bob Cooney here, Tyler Zuli helping us out tonight. Andrew Salchunas with a much needed and much deserved night off. After we're done here at 7 o'clock, you get the great voice of Devon Givens. Devon, Tyler and I just talking during the break. Always love talking to Devon. It's like that. It's like you're a little kid again and you need that suit. You know, like, remember when you were little and you needed to, like, you're going to bed and it was always comforting to maybe to hear one of your parents' voice, like, in the other room. It just kind of was that soothing thing. you know, that ended your day. Well, that's what Devon is from 7 to 10 here every night. Just that, sir, 6 to 10, whatever it may be. Just that soothing voice that you need to hear, of course, always filled with great information also. So we talked about the three Thanksgiving Day games that are coming up on Thursday. I like all the favorites. We're going to give you a best bet before the night's over also, and it might include one of those games. It might not. It could include something else, which is also your Philadelphia Eagles. All right, Eagles go Monday night, as we know. You think the Monday night group is just thrilled as hell to have the Eagles on this Monday? I mean, your storyline is Philadelphia. Like, normally, when you have the Eagles, it's a good football team. That's a good game. Philly, Seattle, replay of last year's playoff game. But right, Ty, you come in here to Philadelphia. The side story is the fans and how great they are and what the city of Philadelphia is and all that. I mean, that's kind of your overriding story that ties into the game. You have a bad team. You have no fans. What exactly is your overriding story with this Philadelphia team if you're Monday Night Football?
This Monday Night Football crew, man, they looked back a couple of weeks ago and they went, all right, 3 weeks ago you gave us Jets, Patriots on Monday Night Football, and now you're going to give us this team that is reeling beyond belief and a Seattle defense that can't stop a cold?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, that could be a blessing in disguise for the NFL. I mean, for the Eagles, if this Seattle team shows with that defense that has been a little bit porous throughout the year. But still, like you and I were talking before, Ty, still with Bobby Wagner at linebacker, still they make plays. They're not that good of a defense, I know. But when you watch them and you compare them to an Eagles team, they just kind of make plays. You know, and that's not something you get. You get an interception here or there. You get like a sack out of nowhere. You get a big hit. Structurally, are they great? Or schematically, are they great? No, but they still have playmakers. You can be a bad defensive unit, but if you have playmakers, it'll bail you out once in a while. You just don't have that with the Eagles. And one of the things is funny, Ty, we're talking this morning on the morning show. They showed a highlight with the TV on in here and the highlight of the Tampa Bay game last night. And Tampa Bay gets an interception early. It was their 13th interception of the year. What do the Eagles have? Two? Three?
Well, I don't want to totally...
You can. Go ahead.
I don't want to totally say that is a downside to this team because this defense is structured to not be a takeaway team.
Yeah.
They're structured to be a bend-don't-break type defense. And if that's what you're going for, that's fine. And, you know, like you talk about the wide nine specifically, right? They could run the wide nine if they had the athletes at linebacker to do it. Because Jim Schwartz was successful leading up to his firing in Detroit, right? That last year before he was fired and Jim Caldwell took over, they had a successful defense. And the same can be said for, I think, when he was with Buffalo as well. But you have to have the linebackers to do it. They simply do not.
Yeah, the kid Singleton looks to be a little bit of something, right? Like last couple weeks, I think he had 15 tackles, 11 tackles. He appears to be in on some plays. But as you said, Ty, is it out of that's all you got? Or is it out of, all right, maybe you're finding a little bit of a diamond in the rough? I don't know. I mean, I look at the guy and he doesn't seem like you know, that intimidating middle linebacker to me. Or I don't know. I schematically, are the right players in the right places for him? We talked to Avante Maddox this morning on the morning show, and we asked him about a couple of the plays that he got beat on, and it seemed to be a scheme thing. He expected help over the top on a long pass. He turned the wrong way and thinking that somebody else was going to be somewhere on the pass interference in the end zone. It seems schematically, A, you don't have real good guys to carry out whatever scheme you may have, and B, the scheme doesn't fit the talent. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of, I'm not thrilled with coaches that come in with a scheme and say, players fit this scheme. I'm more of a see what you got and make a scheme that fits them. I don't know if wide nine, as you just said, Ty, fits this Eagles defense properly.
Yeah, I think that's certainly fair. You talk about scheme, and it's totally a fair sentiment. My problem with that is it's kind of like chicken or egg. Like you said, you feel like players make for scheme rather than the other way around, where you try to fit, you know,
right,
plug and place a guy into a scheme.
Yeah.
But when you look at it on the surface, the talent level's not there, and it's not helping the scheme, much like the scheme is not helping the player. So it's like this, snowball rolling down the hill, and it never gets any better.
It's a circle of nothing. You know, as much as you want to look for something, you look for the running game. Well, does the coach abandon that? You don't really have a passing game. The coach says you need to roll out the quarterback. He did it once in 41 dropbacks on Sunday. The offensive line is in total disarray. As Doug Peterson said, they used 9 different offensive linemen again this past week. Jordan Mailata was on the left side. He was on the right side. He was on neither side. You know, I don't know what you're going to do with Jason Peters, but they do. They're just going to plug and play him. I don't have anything. My thing about a team, like I said earlier about the Cowboys and why I like them against Washington on Thursday, with Zeke Elliott running for 100 yards for the first time, with the other offensive weapons that you have, although their offensive line is in a bit of disarray, and Ty, you brought this up during the break, even though an offensive line is in disarray, the Eagles, the Cowboys, they still seem like they can run block. With the Cowboys, I feel like that's something I can grab onto, that Zeke Elliott might have a decent game against Washington, that he's kind of finding his groove. That means the wide receivers should get better. That means that Andy Dalton should be able to find people. That's something I can hold on to. That's why I kind of like Dallas against Washington on Thursday. This Eagles team, if I'm trying to look for something, now the line right now, the Eagles are getting 5, over under is 51. If you're trying to wrap your hands around something with this Eagles team, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you have a feeling more than I do, Tyler, about anything, but I just don't have a feel on anything with this Eagles team right now.
No, because there's no consistency. And the one thing that I have had the largest issue with, outside of Carson Wentz being, you know, absolutely horrendous this year, and there is no defending that anymore, because I thought that this weekend, this Sunday in particular, was his worst game of the season, even if the stats weren't as bad as certain other games. But when I look at that team, there's no building blocks.
Right.
They don't do anything schematically that extends on things that were successful. They don't scrap plays that were unsuccessful. There's nothing about this team that I go, yep, that's it. That's the team.
Yeah, and this is telltale. I'm looking at alternate lines. I was checking it out earlier today. So alternate lines, right now Seattle is a 5-point favorite, okay? So you think, all right, this might be a blowout. So you can look at alternate lines, and you can take the line up to like 24, 25, 26 Seattle. You take it all the way up to, say you think they're going to blow them out, 17.5. Say if I take Seattle, giving the Eagles 17.5, it's still only a +380. Now, +380 is a nice number, but usually when you go that high, that number is a lot higher. So FanDuel Sportsbook, get on it, check it out. Eagles are tough to watch this year, right, Ty? I mean, the Eagles are just tough to watch this year. If there's a more fun way to watch the Eagles, get on FanDuel Sportsbook. That's the more fun way to watch it. There's so many different things you can do. I love looking at alternate lines. And a couple weeks ago, I was the only guy that picked, not to toot, but I was the only guy to pick the Giants to beat the Eagles in that game. I took the Giants with the alternate line and wound up winning a little money. If I'd have boosted it up a little more, I could have won quite a bit. But that's the thing you can do. If you feel Seattle is going to be a blowout win, look at your alternate lines. You can get them at 13.5, 14.5, on up. Just keep climbing, and the money gets better and better. Ty, how do you see this one playing out? I got to tell you, I remember a Monday night game years back. I think Seattle beat the Eagles like 38 or 43-0.
42-0.
42-0. It was horrible.
That was the Lofa Tutupu game, right?
That's right. Yes,
it
was.
Pick six.
So maybe a lot of people, you remember it. I remember it. Probably some fans remember it. Few players on the Eagles or Seattle know about that game. Yet it's in our minds, and I can't help but go back to that. I can't help but think this is going to be an absolute blowout.
The only thing that I would take solace in if I were an Eagles fan is what we talked about earlier, is that the Seahawks defense is really poor. And if you can hold them to not create big plays, meaning big turnovers that result in pick sixes, that result in the Seahawks setting up on the Eagles 14-yard line, you might be able to keep this within a touchdown or 10 points. But there is nothing short of a catastrophic meltdown or a significant injury that says that the Eagles win this game.
Yeah, and so something that we alluded to earlier on Twitter, somebody put out, was Twitter or Instagram? I guess it was Instagram that it came out on, that they were talking about, somebody brought up Eagles and playing Jalen Hurts maybe over Carson Wentz. And for some reason, Seattle wide receiver DK Metcalf had to chime in And the question, I guess, was posed, would you rather face Jalen Hurts than Carson Wentz, or should the Eagles play it? I forget the exact wording. And he decided to chime in, yeah, Jalen Hurts should play. Don't know why he felt like he had to chime in on that, but if DK Metcalf feels he has something to prove to Philadelphia, like he might feel like he has to prove to the whole league for him being taken so late in the draft, look out. Because Darius Slay, DK Metcalf, Slay's had a good year. We've talked about his numbers. Tyler, you're a numbers guy. You know how good or how bad the passer rating against him has been all season. But, man, DK Metcalf's just a different instrument. And I don't even know if he's going to be lined up with him. And if he's not, you're talking Avante Maddox. And we have Avante Maddox on every Tuesday on the morning show. Great, great dude. I don't think he's playing the proper position right now. I think he's an inside slot cover kind of guy. I don't think he's a starting outside defensive back. And if he is, they have Lockett over there. I don't know if you put Slay on Lockett. If that puts DK Metcalf on Avante Maddox, advantage Seattle.
Do you remember when Jason Kelce was starting to get his footing in the league and starting to become a real legitimate center?
Right.
There was always one team that gave him issues.
Seattle?
Well, just because they don't play Seattle as much. It was Washington.
Okay.
Because they use those big interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
You know, and Kelce's a great pull center. He's a great guy to get out behind, you know, in space and have him create a path. But what he doesn't do well is be a big dominating center.
No, he's athletic. I mean, that's his thing. He's athletic, right.
Flip this to Darius Slay, who has been, I think, sensational for the better part of 10 out of 11 weeks or 9 out of 11 weeks or whatever it was that they've played so far. This is a matchup that I would not want to see him on, because the problem is you use Slay, he's going to get physically beat. You use Avante Maddox, he's not fast enough to keep up with him. This is a bad matchup for any Eagles corner.
That's funny. So Avante Maddox against DK Metcalf, and you rightly said he's not fast enough to stay with him. We're talking 5'9", 190 against 6'4", 250. And the first thing you went to, rightfully so, is he's not fast enough, let alone the physicality of the game. So, yeah, I'm a little bit drooling because DK Metcalf is on my fantasy football team. I think he might go for a big, big game. Get on FanDuel Sportsbook. I think, Tyler, if you have to take a team right now with the line being at 5, I assume you're jumping on Seattle.
I'd hammer Seattle.
Yeah, yep. And that's another line I see it climbing. Unless something crazy. Look, Seattle last played on Thursday. It's not like they're coming west to east and you know, that normal, whatever it may be. They haven't played since Thursday. They're not playing again until Monday. They've had a long time to recover. They've had a long time to go over things to get themselves righted. They were struggling there a little bit before they righted the ship, beating Arizona 28-21 on that Thursday night game. Russell Wilson was struggling, was throwing a boatload of interceptions through, I want to say, 7-4 games over a little bit of a span, righted himself a little bit against Arizona. But that is just, that's a good football team coming in. I know their defense has struggled, but my God, a struggling defense, if you want to get righted in this league and you had to pick a team to go against, I think the Eagles might be at the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, how many of the other teams would you choose?
Yeah, right?
Right now, like seriously, instead of the Eagles, you take the Jets and Jacksonville?
Probably.
Anybody else?
No.
Denver?
I mean, we can say that as easy. Denver even has a decent running game with Gordon. You know, like, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. You start checking these boxes and they're all going to come up no.
Because, look, if you're Seattle, you're kind of you're looking for big plays defensively. What's a team that gives up big plays? What's a team that gives up interceptions, gives up fumbles, both from the quarterback? Now your running back missed one. I mean, this offense is just in total disarray right now. And Seattle's defense has to be licking its chops to get into Philadelphia to right the ship after not playing since last Thursday. I mean, that it's a perfect scenario for Seattle. I'm surprised this line is only 5. It makes you wonder, you know, line speaking to me. It's not. It's not speaking to me saying, oh, wait, can't be that easy. I think it is this easy. I think that line climbs a little bit, a tie. I think it's going to get maybe to the 6.5 mark, maybe to the 7 as the week goes on. If you get on FanDuel Sportsbook right now and you feel like I do, you feel like Tyler does, that Seattle's going to win this game pretty handily, get that line now. You can get that line now. The closer you get to the game, the different it's going to get, and I think it's going to climb. If you like Seattle, look to zone in on it right now. Tyler, is there any individual stuff that you think shines out with maybe with a Russell Wilson, maybe a DK Metcalf as far as yardage goes that you think might happen in this game? Because I say this all the time, but my dad only gave me one advice about betting. He said, don't bet bad teams. Right now, the Eagles are a bad team, so I don't even see myself going anyway with them. Do you see anything individually that you might like in this game or any other maybe boost or some kind of a bet off of the line, off of the over-under, off of the game line that you like?
Yeah, I think that I would probably stay away from the numbers themselves, just be other than the betting the five outright, because I think that that is a pretty easy cover to hit, I would imagine. But
I really do.
For me, when I'm a big believer in the anytime touchdown ability. I think that that's a really fun way and a really easy way to win some money if you kind of know what you're looking at. So for me, playing off of the game that he had last week for Seattle, I think that Carlos Hyde inside the goal line, inside the red zone, is almost a guarantee to score against this Eagles defense, especially if he can get into the second level. Obviously, the number's not out just yet. Probably be out in about 2 days, I would think.
Right, right.
But if Carlos Hyde gets the bulk of the carries again this week, like he did last week, and you don't see Carson or DJ Dallas or anybody like that take any kind of snaps away from him, I would take a shot at Carlos Hyde scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, he carried the ball 14 times last week, for 5.6 a carry, had 79 total yards. He's the guy that they went to. Scarborough gets you some carries, and of course, Russell Wilson is going to, break loose and do what he does. I guess you spy him. I guess you have to do whatever you have to do. The Eagles did a decent job against him in the playoffs last year as far as running went. But that guy's just such a solid weapon. And last week, he managed a game against Arizona. He wasn't, as I said, he went into that game with seven interceptions over his last four games. Last week, all he does, 23 for 28. He only threw for .197, a couple of touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over, ran 10 times, did a real good job there. Obviously got Lockett involved. He gets DK Metcalf a little bit involved, only had three catches, but Lockett 9 for 9 on targets and receptions. They have a really, really good receiving core. They lost Greg Olsen with the foot injury. That looks to be serious. You pray that that's not the way his career ends. But I think this is just a game where Seattle looks at it as tune-up. Let's get ourselves ready. Let's go in there. Not only, if I'm Seattle speaking, not only tune ourselves up, but let's tune up the Eagles at the same time. I do. I just see this as a real, real solid Seattle win. I don't know where this Eagles team is. I don't think this Eagles team knows where they are. I didn't get any more confident after the game was played on Sunday in Cleveland, despite the bad weather. I certainly haven't gotten any more confidence from what players and coaches have said since then. Doug Peterson, we have to look at rolling out Carson Wentz more again. I don't know what that means. Carson Wentz saying he's not going to change. Why? Something has to change. Like, what are you doing here? It's the definition of insanity. I just don't think this is a year. I think right now, Ty, my opinion, Eagles are the worst team in the NFC East right now.
There's a fair argument to be made.
Yeah, I think Washington, Dallas, and Giants are all playing decent football for what they are.
I still think that right now, because of the fact that the loss of Dak is so huge, I still think it's the Cowboys. But it's not close. I mean, it's not a wide margin between any of these teams.
No.
Quite honestly, the only one that I wouldn't pick, and that's just simply because of the fact that I think that they've played the best of the four over the last 3 weeks right now, is the Giants.
I think Joe Judge is a really good coach.
I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, I think he's a really, really good coach. And that's a team you got to watch. But I just do feel that way over the last 3 weeks. I think the worst team in this NFC right now is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think, as I said earlier, I think we're going to see a decent game. We're going to see Washington and Dallas on Thursday. As we said, Houston, a 3-point favorite at Detroit. I like Houston. Washington is 2.5-point underdogs. I like Dallas in that game also. Pittsburgh and Baltimore go off. Pittsburgh's favored by 5.5. Baltimore is just ravished with COVID stuff, and we hope to God that gets off. So, Tyler, I'm going to finish with you with this. What is your best bet for this Thursday, this group of Thursday games? What's your best bet?
Yeah, so like I said to you, I really like to play around with the anytime touchdown scores. I think that it's especially if you start to do the same game parlay, which is probably the best invention in betting, especially with these with FanDuel. It to me, it makes it a lot of fun to sit and watch games and go, I need that guy to score and that guy to score. It's kind of like playing fantasy football with your bets. So for me, You talked about Ezekiel Elliott getting going last week for the first time. I think that he continues that trend and he scores. And I'm going to same game parlay Ezekiel Elliott with a guy that all he does is score touchdowns for Washington is J.D. McKissick. He's not a productive member of the yards per carry or yards per catch all team. He would not make that team, but he would make the percentage of touches per touchdown team for sure. So if you put those two together, you end up with a plus 487 bet. You know, and I know you guys like to, you and Andrew like to use that number of, put $5 down, right?
There you go.
Wins you $24.35 for
two
guys catching a pass in the end zone.
If you're Pat Egan, you put down 5 cents and you win $2.40
or whatever it is.
I'm
proud of Pat for playing.
Why not? Always proud of Pat for playing. Tyler, I'm proud of you. Thank you so much for helping us out tonight. We want to wish Christy Souchunas a happy birthday. That's why Andrew was not with us tonight. He's celebrating his wife's birthday. It is their first, her first birthday with her husband because their first anniversary is next week. So we wish her a happy birthday. Thanks again for joining us. We want to wish the Union good luck tonight. Doop, doop. Playoff game, 8 o'clock against New England. We also want you to wait for the great voice of Devon Givens coming up after we're done here. I'm Bob Cooney. Join us tomorrow on the morning show. Mark Farzetta, myself, Jamie Lynch, and of course Patrick Egan. We'll be there 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, but right now I gotta tell you once again why Thanksgiving is my favorite day. Why? Because you can just sit back all day long, you watch football, you eat. It's the best day ever. And now thanks to FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, it's even better because I can bet all the action. If you've never been on FanDuel Sportsbook, right now is the perfect time to give it a shot because they're giving new users a 25-1 odds boost on any football game on Thanksgiving Day. That means you can bet $5 and win $125 on any bet that you make on Thanksgiving Day. I told you just now, I like all the favorites. Check it out. Get the line that you like. You can get it now, or you can wait closer to game time. See what happens. Offers like these are just one of the reasons FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. I also love the exclusive promos and that they get me my winnings in as little as 24 hours. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Bob so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.